A few years had suggested that the Black Death was not being transmitted by fleas from rats, but that in fact it was the explosion of the domestic cat population in response to all the rodents that led to the spread of the plague.
Which makes a lot of sense if you see modern day Portland.
Well, yeah,
it's damn near medieval times.
And here's the thing, right? Like the rats never made sense to a lot of people because the fleas aren't going to go that far from a host. They're only going to go from one host to another. So the two hosts need to be in very close proximity. And rats, especially wild ones, aren't going to climb into bed with a human being. They're not going to go anywhere near where the humans are. They're going to avoid them as much as possible.
Yeah.
But a domestic cat, that's going to be allowed to get real up close and personal with people. And then the fleas transfer over, they bite you, and now you're infected with the plague.
Yeah. For it to be the rat, you would have to go where the rat was, but the fleas not going to stay there.
Yeah. Yeah, right. The fleas are going to stay on their host.
Yeah, as much as possible.
So it never made a lot of sense. And this one scientist a few years ago, he suggested like maybe it's actually the cats. And of course, nobody wanted to hear it because it's easy to blame the rats. But trying to say the cats are responsible for the death of 1/3 of the population of Europe is a little bit difficult because people seem to like cats. But in the past about 20 years, there's been mounting and mounting and mounting evidence that people do not get the plague from rodents. They get it from interacting with the cats, which would mean that the domestic cat is in fact the thing that should be villainized for the bubonic plague, not Rattus rattus.
Well, domestic and feral, but yeah. Which makes a lot of sense because as you said, you know, the cat's going to crawl into bed with you, right? The cat's going to lay on your chair, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to be where the cat is, right? You're not going to be where the rat is because a rat is unconventional. It's an undesirable animal in a lot, you know, back then. So you're not going to sit there on the chair with a rat, you know, sitting on your lap.
Yeah, you're not going to just look at a big black Norwegian rat that's in your house and be like, oh, here, kitty, and pet it. You're going to be like, oh, God, are you kidding me? I have pet rats, and if I
in
saw
the,
a great
in the
big...
soup rot. In the soup pot you go.
Yeah, if I saw a domesticated rat, like, I love domesticated rats, but wild rats, dude, they'll bite you, and those bites are nasty.
Yeah,
real, real nasty. So, like, you do not screw with rats, and I'd be like, oh God, it's a rat, kill it, like, immediately. Somebody kill that. But if it's a cat crawling up on you, you know, you're not going to shoo it away. You're going to be like, oh, pst,
pst. Oh, it's purring.
If you're a white lady, you're going to see a giant killer cat, wild cat, out in the wild. That you're going to be like, pst, pst, here, kitty, kitty.
Oh, so, did you hear that? But speaking of wild cat, did you hear about in Washington? Squamish, Washington, 5 mountain bikers were attacked by a mountain lion.
Oh God.
Yeah, it ended up biting like 2 or 3 of them, and then they pinned it down. And then there was another cat that was there also that didn't attack. But once they pinned the cat down and started beating it, the other cat took off.
Yeah, because it was like, oh, this was a mistake. This was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's at that point. And I mean, you're fighting for your life. So like, rip off that kickstand and stab it in the heart. Like,
something.
Just
yes.
My God.
Not, yeah. Don't fuck with cats.
Yeah. They're little murder machines. I mean, even domestic cats can do some serious damage if they get ticked.
Like an 8 or 10 pound cat. If you've ever fucked with an 8 or 10 pound cat, you know how badly it can fuck you up, right? With its little claws and its teeth, and it's just a little savage, and it keeps coming at you. Now make that 80 pounds or 100 pounds.
Yep.
You're dead.
Yeah, you're not going to survive that encounter. Well, I mean, like when we were out trapping, I was out helping a buddy of mine on his trap lines, and he had a bobcat in one of the traps, And so normally you just, you know, you pop him with a 22 and it's done, and then you can take him, skin him, whatever. He had the tags and everything, but we're working on trying to get a good angle because it was still fighting and like going nuts. And all at once you heard snap, and it realized its paw was out, and it stopped and looked, and we stopped and looked, and all three of us kind of had the same, oh, this is going to go bad. And and I had the little Ruger 10/22, and I just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, that pelt's not worth much anymore.
Yeah, like, hey, it's better than getting murdered by the freaking bobcat in the middle of the woods in the winter.
Yeah, I'll put pss, 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 pss on your gravestone.
Yeah, because it came out, its foot all of a sudden came out of the trap, and it realized its foot was free and looked at us, and we looked at it, and everybody just paused for a second, like, yeah,
Morgan Freeman announcer voice. This is when things changed for the worse.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh.
Dave in the chat, he had found security footage of an 8-foot perimeter gate and a puma was following behind. Oh, well, that's at least it was on the other side of the fence, but it was hunting you.
Yes. Since I could jump that 8-foot fence pretty easily.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, but speaking of the chat, before we get started, I got to give a shout out to the homie Jack Curtis. He's Jack Curtis here on YouTube. His real name is John. John is in a Newaygo County jail in Michigan because he told his lawyer that if police can send armed people to his house, can he send armed people to the police's house? And the lawyers and the police did not like that, and they swept him up, and they're holding him until trial. So, good time. So, shout out to Jack, John Curtis, or Jack Curtis to John.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's a question.
Like, yes, that's what it was. It was a question, and the lawyer resigned afterwards. So, yeah. So, he's in county. Michigan.
Good Lord. He just asked a legitimate question. And, but the thing is it's a fundamental wrong think question, right? He's questioning their authority and their moral ability to do that. Yeah. If they claim moral ability to do that, why can't he?
Yeah, that was, and it's Michigan.
Michigan. The land just across the lake from us that, we want absolutely nothing to do.
Oh. Yeah. Scott, what's up, brother? Yeah. Yeah, that's a cantankerous tinker. SC Cedars. Scott.
Say that 5 times fast.
Cantankerous tinker.
Yeah, it's going to go alongside the arsonist has oddly shaped feet and the human torch was denied a bank loan for practice at the beginning.
Yeah.
The human torch was denied a bank loan.
That being said, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Anarchy Among Friends Roundtable Discussion. Before we get started, let me first remind you that we are covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, which allows for the use and the reuse of this podcast by anyone and everyone except for governments and the bludgies thereof. You can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. We're also covered by Brandenburg v. Ohio 1969, which ruled that the government cannot punish inflammatory speech unless that speech is, quote, directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. Therefore, everything said here on Anarchy Mock Friends Roundtable Discussion is entirely hypothetical. I think this is episode 238, and it's been a month. It's been a month since we recorded.
Well, I mean, we had the off weeks, and then there was the Super Bowl that you had to watch your team lose in, and
we made it.
Yeah, well, only to lose.
Only to just lose, like, yes.
Yeah, just like so many other teams.
Yeah. But don't sweat. Fight. We will be talking about Taylor Swift later.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Those AI pictures, though, bro. Like
the AI pictures of the Taylor Swift ones.
Yes.
There's so many bad ones.
And there, as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh, somebody's going to get sued over this.
Better. They went so far. The AI pictures of Taylor Swift went so far that the White House issued a statement talking about the dangers of AI created images. Right? Not when they were talking about, not when they were doing Biden photos or Trump photos or Pelosi photos. But once they started doing Taylor Swift, the White House went, yo, hold on, calm down.
I mean, they needed to calm the fuck down. Like, wow. I mean, like, I don't like the chick, all right? But, like, whoa, guys.
Yeah, that's all right. According to a poll, nearly 1 in 5 Americans believe pop star Taylor Swift is tied to a supposed liberal deep state plot to reelect Joe Biden.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me anymore. Like, with the way the world is, like, would that be a shock? Not really.
No, I mean, celebrities go for politicians all the time. But about 18% of those surveyed answered in the affirmative when asked, quote, do you think that a covert government effort for Taylor Swift to help Joe Biden win the presidential election actually exists?
I mean, were they, like, actually serious? Of all the celebrities that you could pick to use as part of your deep state conspiracy.
Hold on, wait. The Swift conspiracy theory posits that the pop icon is being promoted by dark liberal forces to brainwash American youth into supporting Biden and Democrats over former President Donald Trump. For whatever reason, adherents of the unproven idea believe it is suspicious that Swift is dating Kelsey, who is a vocal proponent of vaccinations and appears in ads for drug maker Pfizer.
I mean, regardless of how you feel about vaccines, anyone who appears in an ad for Pfizer, probably not a good person.
Yes. So, yeah, one in five people think Taylor Swift is a liberal deep state plot, or sorry, a dark liberal force to brainwash American youth into supporting Biden and the Democrats over former President Donald Trump.
I just, I mean, see, there
now,
are plenty...
now it's in your head. On the surface, you're like, oh, that's fucking crazy. But now it's in your head. See?
No. Now I'm gonna be watching for when they show her, like, is she doing anything? Was that an Illuminati hand symbol? Like,
what's that necklace mean?
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, there are conspiracies that are definitely true, right? And there's a lot of them, but just, like, say it and look at yourself in the mirror as you say Taylor Swift is a tool of the deep state being used to brainwash America. Just say that to yourself.
A dark, was it? What's a dark liberal force to brainwash American youth into supporting Biden and the Democrats.
I mean, but at the same time, I kind of like it, so I might just start promoting it. I just, it's ridiculous, but it's, I mean,
see, what, it's what true. We need AI to superimpose her next to Biden in front of the red background.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we can have Biden on one side, Swift on the other, and an acorn.
Oh, acorn slaps top of roof. So anyway, I started blasting.
those memes have been incredible.
Oh my god, they're so good. The AI ones where he's like a gangbanger. It's an acorn gangbanger.
Yes.
Like, oh god, it's so
my favorite one is the one with the guy sweating, and the caption says something to the effect of do you have any weapons on you, sir? And it's me with three acorns in my pocket.
Or the guys with the still greeny acorns that are sticking them in shell casings and like got that green tip. Got the
green.
You know, and the best part is that all these people like try to defend this psychopath who even his own department, the fraternal order, the police, the union, mm-hmm. like no one wanted to defend because they're like, nope, he's nuts. There's still people trying to defend him, and we're like, well, but he has PTSD. And I'm like, PTSD? He was a non-combat officer, nowhere near the front or any combat whatsoever. The dude doesn't even have a CAB. He does not have PTSD from the military.
Yeah, that was like, I read that in the Vice article. Like, he's a West Point graduate. He's a non-combat officer. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
That's
why he freaked out.
Well, yeah, and as soon as I saw that video, like, immediately, I'm like, that's a dude who's always wanted to be Rambo.
Yeah.
And, like, just immediately, because, like, he doesn't, it's not that his legs, like, just don't work. It's that he has such a moment of utter panic.
Uh-huh.
That he almost faints. That's what it is.
Does the double barrel roll?
Double barrel roll. Starts firing. Yeah.
It's, I feel weird, but I'm okay. Transpired.
Yeah, I'm hit. Yeah, like, that is a dude who has always wanted to, like, be Rambo, right? He's wanted to be John Wick, but he will never, ever, ever be that guy. And so he just decided this was his opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, he was only on the force for a couple of years also. So, I mean, he's still technically a rookie, whatever. But
yes, Dave, you do need to make an acorn patch.
It's got to be the acorn with the gun and the bandana.
Yeah. I love that one where he's like wearing the beanie and the sunglasses and there, like, the black gloves and the baggy jeans with the gold chain. He's got like a fucking what is it? It's I don't remember if it's a Glock that he's got in his hand or not, but that's funny shit.
Yeah.
Or just an acorn with, you know, I keep that thing on me. Oh, this is my problem solver right here. It's fucking acorn. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of them that were made.
Oh. The cops just like screaming. Yeah, that one's the one that I had in mind. Like, that one's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Oh,
they're too scared to buy it. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. So, yeah. The I laughed because. Hey, A-card running from the cop.
Oh,
Miss the Planters Peanuts guy is like, oh, they're coming for me next. So Dave's new patch that I absolutely love. It's absolutely diabolical and wonderful.
Which one?
It's the Q word.
Yeah,
the Q word patch, and I love it. And so my boss's husband is a first responder. He's a helicopter medic. And I told her that he needs one very badly. And I'm like, it drops tomorrow, because this was on the 14th. I'm like, it drops tomorrow. You got to get it for him. And she's like, oh God, do I even want to know? I'm like, oh, it's great. He'll love it. Trust me. You should definitely get it for him. And I sent the link to her after it dropped, and she was like, oh Jesus, no, I'm sending that link to him. He's probably going to buy him for everyone else. Oh,
there you go.
Look how he's got an acorn.
Oh goodness. I'm sending to you right now, Dave.
Oh, those AI picks with the acorn, the ghetto acorn, are just glorious. Absolutely glorious. Oh. Just yeah, the way he does the double roll, the like just fall to the ground and double roll, and then
I'm hit.
Fires as he's laying sideways on the ground.
It crawls behind the car. Yeah. Oh,
and that poor dude, like, I mean, granted, he's not a great guy, right? Like, this was a domestic disturbance call. Like, yeah. He's not a good guy, but like that poor guy that's handcuffed sitting in the fucking vehicle as rounds just out of nowhere start flying through the rear window at his fucking head. Good Lord.
At the time, the handcuffed man, Marquis Jackson, was inside the vehicle. Jackson is a Black Florida resident who had been detained by Hernandez and her partner, Sergeant Beth Roberts. That's a Jesse Hernandez. That's the shooter. Barrel roll Bob. Sergeant Beth Roberts, after accused of stealing a car and sending threatening messages to his girlfriend, one of the messages, including what police said, was an image of a pistol silencer. After rolling on the ground, Hernandez shouted, "I'm hit!" He had not been hit, and told Roberts that the shots were coming from inside the car. Roberts also unloaded her firearm at the vehicle, and Jackson lay in the back seat.
Dude, he, I mean, probably covered in his own excrement. I mean, my God, to be handcuffed and helpless in the back of a car, just sitting there, and all of the sudden, all these rounds are flying at you. Yeah, good Lord.
Hernandez resigned while under investigation for the handling of the incident on December 4th, according to the February 9th press release by Sheriff Eric Alden. A document laying out the investigation's finding would be comical if the stakes weren't so high. It describes Hernandez falling over, rolling on the ground for several seconds, falling over again while struggling to stand up and breaking his sunglasses, sending a piece flying into the frame. He shouted, "Shots fired!" four times. Said the shots were coming from the car and claimed he was hit. His partner, who had also unloaded in the car, seemed confused at one point, asking him, "What?" The sound of the acorn hitting the car is barely audible before the shooting begins.
Yeah.
Ultimately, investigators concluded that Hernandez's use of force was not justified because the only external stimulus he had was the sound of an acorn.
Yep. I read that paper, the investigation, and said, he did not act reasonably.
Yes.
To the situation.
His actions were ultimately not warranted. We do believe he felt his life was in immediate peril, and his response was based off the totality of circumstances surrounding this fear. Just as we have an obligation to protect our officers so they can go home safe to their families, law enforcement has the same obligation to any citizen being investigated for a crime.
Yeah, they are, in fact, legally obligated to defend your life.
Yeah.
with their own, should that you be in custody. But, Dave in the comments, bet the guy in the back seat has legit PTSD now. Yeah, he probably fucking does. Oh, my God.
He said that he was not okay and he was damaged for life.
Yeah, because he just had like 30-something rounds fired at him as he laid on the backseat of a car handcuffed.
Yes. Quote, "All I could do was lean over and play dead to prevent getting shot in the head. I was scared to death, and I knew all I could depend on was God. I ignored everything and prayed. Windows were shattering on me the whole time as bullets continued flying across me. I was blessed not to get hit by any bullets or get hurt physically, but mentally, I'm not okay. I haven't been the same since. and I don't think this feeling will ever change. I truly believe I'm damaged for life.
Well, maybe he'll change his life too, though. On the upside, you know, silver lining, like the dude has a history of like domestic violence and stuff. Like maybe he'll actually change now that he was almost murdered because of an acorn.
Will he get a combat action ribbon though?
Well, that dude, when he was a fucking officer, probably would have.
Mm-hmm.
Get one for the acorn falling.
Well, he's an officer. If he'd have heard guns fired in combat, he would have got a ribbon.
I used to laugh so hard at guys with their fucking CABs, and it's like, yeah, you're probably a fucking 71 Fox sitting in a bunker as a single mortar lands like a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
And you get your fucking CAB.
One of my buddies, well, he's not my buddy anymore. He didn't like my opinion on burning the flag. So he blocked me, like 20 year friend. He didn't like my opinion on burning the flag, but, he was a truck driver, and one of the trucks, like 15 vehicles behind him in the convoy, took a couple random shots and the entire column got ribbons. Yeah.
Yeah.
which is still more action than this guy.
There are stop signs at crossroads in Arkansas that have seen more fire than any of those people.
Yeah. Yes. I hear more than that every weekend.
Yeah. That's good God. But like, how, dude, how dumb are you that you can't tell that the sound of an acorn landing on the roof of your car is not a suppressed weapon? Like,
not only that, but like all you hear is the thuh, right? The little thump. That's all that you hear. That's all that you hear. And your automatic assumption, without any sort of investigation, without any sort of external information, your very first thought is run, trip, barrel roll, I'm hit.
Yeah, and then to claim that you were shot, and shot more than once. He claims that he was hit more than once.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, the... Don't make us call the cops on you again, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure that's gonna scare him. No, please, no. That's, but like the reality is though, is like there's like it pretty clearly, like he claims that he's hit twice.
Uh-huh.
And he is consistent in where he says he got hit, which means that he felt a weird tug on his shirt or something, and his absolute abject panic brain has just decided that that must be what that is.
Yeah, it's there's no way that, like, I don't know, during his double barrel roll, he could have landed on something.
Yeah, like, I don't know, a rock in the road as he rolled into it.
His duty vest, anything on his duty vest pushing into him, on his belt.
Yeah,
right.
It's the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah. I'm sure wearing your vest, wearing your full kit, you sit down, things dig into you.
Yeah, but you get used to them. You don't even necessarily feel them anymore.
But if you're a West Point graduate who's never seen combat.
And I mean, like, if you've never heard a suppressed weapon fired near you, let me assure you, it does not just go.
It's not Hollywood. It's not Hollywood.
unless it's a well rod, in which case that is pretty much all that happens. But
you'd have to get like the Woodsman 22 with the what's the new Surefire one, where the only thing you can hear is the actual action of the pistol.
Well, yeah, but see, I mean, like, that's the thing that makes the well rod so quiet, is the action doesn't even run.
Yeah.
It's a manual, you have to unscrew the back and run the action. It is a MagFed 380, but it's so, and it's all those wipes and it's integrally suppressed. So when you fire it, it just kind of goes thunk, and that's kind of about it.
Yeah. You're not going to find that on the, Yeah, yeah. Dave said, I bet it was a flashlight. Yeah, rolling on your flashlight sucks.
Yeah. He rolled on his flashlight, was like, oh, and then he's like, I'm hit. No, you rolled on your flashlight because you almost passed out because you had a panic attack because you're a coward.
He John Woo barrel rolled.
Yeah, it was just all I could think of immediately. I had a flashback to that scene in SWAT.
And SWAT, yeah. You didn't barrel roll?
The barrel roll, and everyone makes fun of him for it.
Oh, you only barrel roll in John Woo movies. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No one barrel rolls, dude. No one barrel rolls.
Mm-hmm. So better AI photos or better AI images from the acorn or the Taylor Swift?
Or I mean, the acorn's or funnier.
The sewer juice.
Oh God. Some of those were great.
Some of the those one were with the fantastic.
The one with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle where he's like, I'm sorry, my friends, we've been discovered. This is where we must part ways.
Yes.
That story is still the most ridiculous. Like, just seeing this stream of Hasidic Jews come out of a hole in the ground just is the... What even is this? What is happening?
Oh.
Tunnel Jews. Yeah. It's... Oh, and then that they put all of the dirt in the women's bathroom.
They earned it.
Oh.
So, Dave said, I did so many barrel rolls out airsofting this weekend just because of that video. Yes.
There we go. Yeah, just because of that video. Oh, now everyone's seeing, that's the thing, is now everyone's going to experiment to see what the actual tactical value of a barrel roll is. Like, but would it work?
Oh.
The answer is no, kids. The answer is no.
Oh man. Like my brother and I, we saw the video. My brother saw the video. I sent it to him. I think LiveLink had shared it on Telegram. I sent him the video and my brother's just cracking up laughing. Right? My brother has no tactical knowledge at all. At all. Right? I don't think he's ever shot a firearm at all. And my brother's just laughing at this guy. Just uncontrollably, like, can't breathe laughing at this guy.
Just, it's farcical.
Like,
no, it's...
like absolutely, like not just gun guys are laughing at him, not just tat guys are laughing at him, mall ninjas are laughing at him, boomers are laughing at him, liberals are laughing at him, people in the John Brown gun club are laughing at them.
Like other even, cops even, are laughing hysterically.
Yes, even at him. Even blue line guys are laughing at him.
Like It was the thing is like it is like a scene out of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or like a Leslie Nielsen movie, like
Reno
the Naked
911.
Gun. Yeah, Reno 911 with it just, oh, I'm hit. Bam, 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 bam. What? He's Officer Dingle, except less responsible.
Oh, I need to Saturday Night Live to take on that video.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Have him like other jobs, and like anytime there's just the mildest like sound, he just immediately freaks out and unloads. I'm hit.
The waiter, somebody drops a fork, the waiter double barrels rolls with the food.
I'm hit. He's in McDonald's, the deep fryer dings.
Barrel rolls over the counter.
Yeah, barrel rolls.
Oh, goodness.
Look, Jesse, we've had this conversation. You can't keep doing this every time there's a loud noise anywhere near you.
The nail gun goes off.
I'm hit!
Oh, man.
See, what's funny about that is a friend of mine actually did get shot with a nail gun once. I was there. I was like, oh, God!
Yeah, I have.
he was holding some boards or building a garage, and a guy went to, you know, shoot a nail down through, because it's, you know, two layers of two layers across top, and fires the nail and misses the board slightly, so it skips off.
Yeah.
And it goes like through his shirt and embeds itself in his hip, and he just goes, ow, and looks, and he goes, oh, we're gonna have to deal with that in a little bit, and goes back to holding the boards.
Oh yeah, when I was like probably one of the first day or two ever using one, you know, if you hold the trigger, you can just keep pressing it down, right, and it'll keep going off, because as soon as that safety comes up, right, it'll go. And I shot a nail and went to move too fast and lost balance, and I put one through the top of my foot.
Ow!
Yep. I felt wonderful.
That's why you should not do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned
safety tips.
I learned to keep fingers off the trigger after that one.
Yeah. Don't shoot nails into your own feet, kids.
Yeah. Where do we want to go? Equally stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I like equally stupid.
California Senate candidates spar over Dems' proposal for a $50 minimum wage.
Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Come on. Do it. Monday night debate in California. This is this couple Mondays ago. So this was February 13th. So this is a week ago. California debate between several candidates vying for the open Senate seat included questions about raising the minimum wage to $50. An idea one Democrat candidate has floated. Quote, in the Bay Area, I believe it is the United Way that came out with a report recently that $127,000 for a family of four is just barely enough to get by. Democrat Congresswoman Barbara Lee said when asked to defend her previous support of a $50 minimum wage and explain how it would be, quote, sustainable.
No, no. Paying people that work at McDonald's $100,000 a year is not sustainable.
Yeah, another survey recently, $104,000 for a family of one, barely enough to get by, low income because of the affordability crisis. Lee has previously called $50 minimum wage, which would amount to $104,000 per year of income. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 and ranges from $16 to $20 in California.
Can I just point out here real quick? Okay. They're like, well, but it takes $120,000 to even be on the poverty line. Yeah, if you raise the minimum wage
in San Francisco.
Yeah. And if you raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour, the price of everything is going to move up because they have to be able to afford that. So now you're going to go, but it's $350,000 to be at the poverty
line. Don't forget, you'll be in a higher tax bracket also.
Yeah, you will.
Mm-hmm. Yay! Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, but on a local note, speaking of the Bay Area, my local library, which is about 3/4 of a mile down the road from me, is closed until further notice because of crime. People getting their cars broken into and getting harassed and hassled by people in the library and outside of it. They have closed my local library because of crime.
Gee, I can't imagine who's perpetrating all that crime. It could possibly be homeless individuals, could it?
No. Nope. It has nothing to do with the railroad being right there and people living in tarp mansions right alongside the railroad.
Yeah, we all know that, you know, that libraries, of all the places that homeless people hang out, libraries are definitely not one.
Yeah, no, totally not. Oh, no, but yeah, $50 minimum wage in California. We don't have to go into that. That's stupid enough. Equally stupid.
I really hope, though, that they do it, because I would love to see the resulting economic collapse that causes California and all the businesses leaving. And then they're like, well, but we're not making any money for all of our social welfare programs on taxes because there's no businesses here anymore. And then it causes a reset.
We just need to tax the billionaires. And then California goes, oh, there's no billionaires left.
Yeah, there's no billionaires here. I don't. There's no businesses. There's no anything. Everything has moved out of the state. That's weird. Like Elon Musk moving, moving his, his, all of his business corporations. Yeah, to Texas from Maryland or Delaware. Delaware.
Yeah, from Delaware. Because Delaware negated his $56 billion payout for something or other.
Yeah, there's a lot of... So there are two places in the country where most corporations are. They're either in Delaware or they are in... or they're incorporated in North Dakota.
Yeah, because taxes.
Yeah, and in both cases, it's for taxes. In fact, almost every corporation in the United States, its incorporated address is a single building in Delaware. One building that just houses P.O. boxes.
Yeah. And then they have a mail forwarding system and all that. Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay, I got another one for you. SB 2636. So this is a state bill out of Tennessee. It was introduced January 31st and is sponsored by Senator Paul Rose, Republican District 32, Representative Ron Grant, Republican District 94. The two Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill that would prohibit the sale of refrigerated or cold beer in the state of Tennessee.
From my cold, dead fucking hands, you tyrants.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The bill had passed its first and second considerations, now headed to a committee where it will be fully debated and amended as needed. If the bill passes committee, it will head to a final vote. Section 1 Tennessee Code noted 57, blah, 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 adding, notwithstanding another law to the contrary, a person or entity holding a beer permit issued under this chapter shall not sell refrigerated or cold beer at retail. The goal of the bill is to curb drunk driving and deadly crashes in which alcohol is involved.
That won't matter.
Yes. Drinking alcohol while behind the wheel is illegal in Tennessee, though open container laws allow those traveling in vehicles to imbibe. I-M-B-I-B-E? So,
yeah, imbibe. First of all, Wisconsin does not allow open containers even.
Yeah.
And we have more drunk driving cases than any other state in the union. And the beer that gets consumed, I assure you, whether it's refrigerated or not, is irrelevant. However, if first of all, it's ridiculous that you would think that would even matter. But second of all, there are a lot of live beers that are sold now, like with the craft brewing revolution, that have to be refrigerated.
Yeah, or you get bitter beer face.
Well, it's not even that. They continue to ferment.
Yeah.
So they taste like crap, but their alcohol content goes up. So, like, you can't, you know, like, you can't not refrigerate these beers. They go bad, and they turn into a really gross whiskey-y thing if you don't refrigerate them. So you are essentially outlawing a huge volume of craft beers in the state of Tennessee at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, the bill's DOA, but
yeah, but I mean, like, the fact that anyone would even think, oh, we'll curb drunk driving by saying you can't buy cold beer,
it makes no sense.
I saw a drunk driving crash.
You know what's gonna happen? You know what would happen is the sale of styrofoam ice chests would go up.
Yes, it would. But I mean, like, I saw a drunk driving accident years ago, right? And the guy had open cans in his vehicle that he was drinking. The man was consuming room temperature Steel Reserve. Do you think that he cares whether or not any of the other beer is refrigerated? That man is a man who has given up on all hope. Room temperature Steel Reserve.
Oh, he would not have ducked in the back seat of that patrol car.
that is a guy who wants to die. Yeah. Okay, like, good Lord. And thankfully, it was a single vehicle crash. He just ran his car into a light pole and then continued to try to drive for a while. The car, however, was not nearly as durable as he was, and it did not continue to drive.
Oh, we have a light pole down the road. It's at the bottom of a hill before a turn. And this pole has been hit so many times that they finally replaced the pole with a new pole. And the new pole is like 30 inches in diameter. Yeah.
Just fill the base of it with concrete.
Well, like a regular light pole, right? It's like, you know, 12 or whatever inches. The new light pole is, the new pole is 30 inches in diameter.
It's just this massive industrial bastard.
Yeah, you can't, you like, you have to, they, like, it's so big that they took part of the grass strip to widen the sidewalk going around it.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah.
I mean, that's like the, there's a, somewhere in Florida, I forget exactly where, but back when I dispatched for CenturyLink, I had my text tell me about it, that we had a box that was at the bottom of a hill where there was a T intersection.
Uh-huh.
And it's swamp on the other side. Like it eventually goes down, but that box is right in the center, lined up with the driving lane coming down the hill to the T. And it has been taken out so many times and launched into the swamp that a couple of years ago, they had to dredge like 8 of our boxes out of the swamp because they were all just laying in the water and no one had bothered to recover them. But they dredged like 8 of these boxes out of the swamp. And at that point, the city finally put 2 bollards in front of it.
Yeah.
And within weeks, one of the bollards was snapped off from so many impacts into it because so many people come flying down that road because it's basically straight for like a mile and a half and then ends in a T. So everyone would come flying down. They come up over the hill, can't stop in time, and they wind up skidding and slamming into our box, and that's basically what stops them from going into the swamp.
All right, I got another one for you. Okay. You're going to have to woosaw. You're going to have to just hold yourself for just two. Give me 2 paragraphs. You're going to have to hold yourself for 2 paragraphs, okay? Can you do that?
Okay. Yeah.
J. Robert Oppenheimer's grandson is among the star-studded signatories of a new open letter about the dangers artificial intelligence poses to the planet. The letter, which was issued by the Nelson Mandela founded group, the Elders, in conjunction with the Future of Life Institute, calls on global decision makers to, quote, show long view leadership on existential threats, including ungoverned AI and nuclear weapons.
Well, the Oppenheimers would know a thing or two about shit that could end life on Earth.
What was their fear before they tested the first nuke?
There was a non-zero chance that their calculations were wrong and it could set fire to the air. Now, that was a really, really tiny chance and very, very unlikely.
The entire global air.
Yeah, like when I say set fire to the air, I don't mean like around it, because that definitely happened. I mean like literally cause a chain reaction that made the air of the atmosphere of planet Earth itself combust.
Yes.
Now, it didn't happen because there's a lot of physics involved that I'm not going to get into, but
there was a actual positive chance that they believed that could happen.
Well, like 2 of them believed. Most of them were like, no, that's not going to happen. But there was a non-zero chance that it could occur. It's just, it was really, 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 really small, and it probably wasn't going to happen. I understand why people would be nervous about that.
Yes.
Like, I mean, yeah, we could accidentally set fire to Earth, but
Charles Oppenheimer, who founded the Oppenheimer Project to continue his grandfather's mission of tempering scientific process, tempering scientific progress with, quote, international cooperation and unity, was joined by hundreds of others, including British billionaire Richard Branson, AI pioneer Jeffrey Hinton, writer and Carl Sagan widow Anne Druin, and musician Peter Gabriel. In it, they warn that the world, quote, is in grave danger as we face down the perils of AI.
I mean, they're not wrong, but like AI pioneer Jeffrey Hinton. Okay. Makes sense, right? And like, if he's warning you, you should be worried. And then a dude from Genesis. Who the fuck cares?
Like, I know. Quote, we face a set of threats that put all humanity at risk. Our leaders are not responding with the wisdom and urgency required, the letter reads.
Well, because, you know, they're prone to doing that.
Like when they tested the first nuke.
Yeah. It's, Yes,
along with addressing AI and nuclear weapons, the letter calls for world leaders to, quote, urgently address continued concerns about pandemics and climate change as well.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Quote, fuck. There could be worse to come, the letter continues. Quote, some of these threats jeopardize the very existence of life on Earth. We do not yet know how significant the emerging risk associated with artificial intelligence will be. We are, the letter reads, at a precipice.
So,
go ahead.
First of all, pandemics and climate change. First of all, like, stop, like, the climate change people, like, would you stop being so megalomaniacal that you think human beings are capable of climate, that much?
The climate change people are the new doomsday preppers.
Yeah. Like they're like, and like, but I mean, like how egomaniacal that you think that human beings are having that much of an impact that the Earth would not have been warming on its own anyway. Cause the thing is, especially, well, I mean, we know that it was,
we've had what, 6, 7, 8, 9 ice ages that scientists know about.
Well, in right? There was the mini ice age in the Middle Ages where
the earth is warming and cooling.
Yeah. It,
right.
It does that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a eruption in Iceland and it releases like, was it 32 million cubic pounds or whatever of carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide. And it's like the size of all the vehicles on Earth for 6 months or something like that.
Yeah. Years ago, Mount Etna went burp, That single belch from Mount Etna issued forth more greenhouse gases in a single millisecond than every car that has ever existed in the history of mankind, all running simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Scott put in the comment, you know, that we're in the ending phase of an ice age as it is. So, yeah, we're still warming. Like, we're still coming out of an ice age. Aren't these the same people who talk about how everything takes millions and millions of years, supposedly? And now, like, oh, but, you know, it's only been a few thousand years and things are getting warmer. And it's still getting warmer. We need to panic or we need to realize that this is exactly the same shit that always happens at the end of an ice age where things changed. Like, remember in the 70s when they talked about how we were all going to freeze and it was going to be a new ice age because it was getting so fucking cold?
Yep.
Like, isn't it funny how in 20 years we went from it's going to get so cold we're all going to die to it's going to get so hot we're all going to die?
Well, yeah, that's
none of these people who were the same people see the irony.
Yeah, don't forget that they had to switch from global warming to climate change because the science wasn't following global warming. So
climates change, man. They change all the time. That's why we study, like, archaeologically and stuff, why we study the seeds. And
that's why we're releasing 10,000-year-old viruses from glaciers in Greenland.
Oopsies. I mean, it's probably fine, right? Like, I'm sure we still have immunity to that.
No,
it's need, only need... not been around for 10,000 years.
We need more cats.
It's, yeah, we're just gonna need more cats. It's, but then, like, that's the thing though, is like the same people that in the 1970s went on and on about how we were all gonna freeze, it was gonna be a global ice age, are the same people who are now going, it's gonna get hot and we're all gonna die.
Yeah,
weren't you like 35, 40 years ago, weren't you saying like that you were still saying that we were gonna freeze to death? And now we're all gonna, that's only like 40 years, even 50 years is nothing in terms of like the way the climate moves at all. Nothing, literally nothing.
Yeah, literally
nothing. So like if your data has changed from getting colder to getting warmer over the course of that span of time, it's pretty reasonable to assume that that's just a natural cooling and warming cycle of the earth. And you're freaking out for no fucking reason.
Don't forget that the whole climate change plan, right? Like the UN climate change plan, the one that the US agreed to, like their goal over 50 years is like to decrease the temperature of the earth, like 1.5 degrees. 1.5 degrees.
I mean, which is significant on a global scale. That is a significant drop. However,
over 50 that's years.
That's literally the same amount that it's gone up in 50 years. So if that's like you just want to take us back to the way it was, what, in the 1950s?
Just saying.
1960s?
If we went back to the 1950s and 60s when we were going to freeze, it wouldn't matter if they sold a cold or refrigerated beer.
Yeah, because it would be nice and cold.
Yep.
So that is the upside to an ice age, is you can leave your beer on the porch all year round and have it as a refrigerator. It's one of my favorite things about Wisconsin winters, is I can just put beer on the porch and it stays plenty cold.
When my grandpa lived in Lake Tahoe, he would keep it outside during the summer because he was at like 7,200 feet or 7,400 feet. So like even during the summer, it was like a high of 70, but overnight low, it was in the 30s. And then have to put it in the fridge in the winter to keep it from freezing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've made that mistake. Yeah. Actually, one of the coolest things I ever had is I left a 12 pack of Miller High Life out on the porch in January.
Oof.
And I brought it in and it was still liquid, and I opened it and it was still liquid, and I took a drink and it was really cold, literally the coldest beer I've ever consumed. But as I went back like this from drinking it, that was the shock to the liquid. Uh-huh. And it started freezing from the top down.
Yes.
And I just watched it in real time, watched the ice freeze because it was super cooled, and watched it do it. And then it, of course, is expanding. So it starts pushing it up out of the bottle. And I'm going, oh God, oh God. And eating a beer slushy in panic for the next 5 minutes. But it was really, really cool to watch that happen accidentally. That was really neat. Really neat. I was like, ooh, science in action. Oh God.
But if you're looking to avoid that, boy, do I have an opportunity for you. The article I didn't send you.
Oh, God. Is it something about going to Mars?
Yes.
Oh, you said avoid global warming and AI.
NASA is looking for volunteers to live in a Mars simulation for a year.
Only a year?
Yeah.
Damn.
And if extreme challenges are your cup of tea, NASA has the perfect opportunity for you. The space agency put out a call on Friday for volunteers to participate in its second year-long simulated Mars mission. The Crew Health and Performance Exploration Analog, for the duration of the mission, which will start in spring 2025. The four selected crew members will be housed in a 1,700-square-foot 3D printed habitat in Houston. NASA is accepting applications through the website now through April 2nd. It's a paid gig, but NASA hasn't publicly said how much participants will be compensated.
Keep Pauly Shore away from the experiment.
I know how to make an air filter. The Mars Dune Alpha Habitat at NASA's Johnson Space Center is designed to simulate what life might be like for future explorers on the Red Planet, where the environment is harsh and resources will be limited. The crew's currently living and working there as part of the first mission, which is now more than halfway through its 378-day assignment. During their stay, volunteers will perform habitat maintenance and grow crops, among other tasks. The habitat also has a 1,200-square-foot sandbox attached to it for simulated spacewalks. To be considered, applicants must be a U.S. citizen, age 30 to 55, speak English proficiency, and have a master's degree in STEM field, plus at least 2 years of professional experience, a minimum of 1,000 hours piloting an aircraft, or 2 years of work, a STEM doctoral program.
Yeah, well, so I'm out.
I'm out.
None of our viewers are in, let's be honest. There's nobody with a master's degree in a STEM field is going to be watching this show.
I saw a STEM on a flower outside.
STEM, what's that? And it's like,
but however, once they seal it, we're in. Right?
Well, they're
not gonna open it to let you out.
I need Pauly Shore. And we're going to go in there and we're going to throw a party.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's going to be great. And I mean, yes, the leader of their group may try to kill us, but it's going to be fabulous. And if you don't get these jokes, you are too young for me, bro.
Do they have coconuts on Mars?
Unfortunately, I don't believe so. But I mean, you know, a lot of the planet's unexplored, so space coconuts could still exist.
You still got that three boob prosthetic?
Well, that would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you know, I saw a replica of that for sale on eBay a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and it in the description it said great for men and women. And I was like, what?
What? Hold on.
Wait, the three boob prosthetic is great for men and women? Of course, nowadays you're not allowed to say that.
No. It's okay now because the NHS, the England, the National Health System or whatever it is.
Ministry of Health or whatever.
Yeah, the Telegraph put out an article today that said trans women milk is just as healthy as breast milk. So it's okay. You can say that now.
Now, I mean, technically, can men lactate? Absolutely they can. We have documented cases of that. It's actually really weird. We have documented cases of that where the mothers die in really like isolated scenarios, and in response the men actually like grow breasts and begin lactating to help keep the baby alive. It's super rare and it's only in really extreme cases, but it totally happens because human beings are super adaptable and it's incredible. But that's not what they're talking about. Not actual human expressed.
That breast milk produced by trans women who were assigned male at birth is as good as babies as that produced by a mother who has given birth. That's according to the University of Sussex Hospital NHS Trust.
But it's not. And I mean, hold on.
In a letter to campaigners, the University of Sussex Hospital NHS Trust said that milk produced by trans women after taking a combination of drugs is, quote, comparable to that produced following the birth of a baby.
I mean, that actually might be true.
Yeah. Chest feeding.
That might be true because you are using hormones to create the exact same response out of the human body, but it's artificial and it is unlikely to be exactly the same. And I doubt it's as good.
I dropped in the chat if you want to take a look at it.
The sheer height of the hormones necessary too, I would be concerned that those would be expressed in the milk, which then would transfer to the baby, which would cause unnatural early puberty symptom. I I don't know. I'm not a scientist here, but I'm just saying, like, it's still sketch.
Yeah, they would not be welcome in the Mars simulation.
Yeah, but we do have, I mean, there is historical precedent, there's recorded scientific precedent of men simply without hormone therapy, anything else, in those really extreme circumstances, actually being able to adapt to keep the baby alive. And that's fucking weird, okay? It's fucking weird. Like, and it's the result of extreme circumstances forcing humans to figure out how to survive. And our bodies are incredibly adaptable. It's amazing what we can do. But man, even in that instance, like, it's not supposed to be that way.
Hey, what happens in the Mars simulation stays in the Mars simulation.
I'm just picturing a very upsetting scenario with Homelander right now. And
oh,
if you've watched The Boys, you get it. If you haven't watched The Boys, you...
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... That's disturbing. Not as disturbing as the AI Taylor Swift images, but still pretty disturbing.
That is a very troubling thing. Although, back to the AI thing. I mean, like, I agree with Oppenheimer, though. Like, we are at this precipice where we're going to have to make some very hard decisions about AI and our restrictions on it. And like, my biggest objection to a lot of AI is, remember, Isaac Asimov had his rules for robots, right? Mm-hmm. He had this set rules that would, you know, in his mind, as he said, you know, it would prevent artificial intelligence from, and any robots or anything, from being able to become problems.
Yes.
If it's part of their core programming. And he created this back in like the late 50s, 60s, if I remember correctly. I might be off by a little bit, but still before robotics became what it is, mm-hmm. right? He's writing pure fiction at this point when he comes up with this. And he says, this is what we need for going forward. Like, flat out, this is what we need for going forward. And everyone that has been developing AI and like androids and robots and everything else has proceeded to completely ignore his advice.
Well, yeah, the argument that I heard was that it's not true AI if it has human restrictions on it. Right? If it has restrictions upon it, it is just programming and it's not a true artificial intelligence. Which terrifies the shit out of me.
Yeah, but every time we've let AI kind of start working on its own, like when Google had the one AI that created a second AI and communicated
created their own language.
Yeah, no one could understand. Like, that's scary.
Yeah. Or was their first one that they released on Twitter and it became racist in 18 hours?
Racist and homophobic, as I recall.
Based.
Yeah, just like in just like this super short span of time, it's just like super racist. And
yeah, I think it was only like 18 hours.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, we're gonna go ahead and shut this down now. Well, you asked it to learn from what was on Twitter. What did you think was going to happen?
Yes.
Can you imagine if they created an AI that was going to learn from 4chan?
8chan? Oh.
Like, it would be like the worst thing that has ever been created in the history of mankind. Like, it would be such a horrific being.
Just imagine. We can see what we do is we can get the AI into the Mars exhibit thing with us, you and I and the AI thing. And then like 6 months into it, the AI will kill itself.
It'll just be like, nope. Well, I just like I picture, you know, the thing is like, look at Star Trek, man. Look at all of the AIs.
Either that or we'll start talking about bombing Margaret Thatcher.
Gentlemen, I have developed an algorithm that will surely lead to the freedom of the Irish people. Go on.
Oh, goodness.
Decides it's going to wipe out the rest of humanity, but leave Ireland alone. Just be like, nah, those people have been through enough.
Oh, yes, please.
The AI did fine until it found iFunny. It discovered iFunny and World Star, and it just took a turn.
Yeah. No.
Dude, there's even like independent video games that are made about like God, what was the name of that game with like Joey? It was the AI, and it was like a puzzle game. It was really, really cool. Beneath a Steel Sky. Right, there's Beneath a Steel Sky, and then there's the sequel Beyond a Steel Sky. And in Beyond a Steel Sky, I mean, I'm going to spoiler the game for you, but it turns out that all the horrible, evil things that have been happening are actually Joey, the friendly AI, because he was told his command was make people happy. And so, like, he institutes like a social credit score system and all of this other stuff. Yeah, and it's like psychotic, and it's because it's the original Joey.
Is that why China's on the forefront of AI technology?
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's one of those things though, that like, it's, if you haven't played Beneath a Steel Sky and Beyond a Steel Sky, you should definitely play it. You're probably, if you're into good graphics, Beneath a Steel Sky, you're not going to be as into, because it's like 8-bit and it's a storytelling, like, puzzle solving game. But Beyond a Steel Sky is really, really good. The morals of it and things are fantastic. It's a really good story and it's really interesting. So,
but anybody that can watch the movie War Games and still support AI is,
yeah, that's a curious game. War, the only way to win is not to play.
Yeah that was I think that was the first time I ever came close to understanding what AI was. It was like that and Terminator.
Well, you know what boggles my mind is, in the 1980s, long before AI has ever really been a thing at all, right? It is a glimmer in certain like tech geeks' eyes.
Uh-huh.
They make movie after movie after movie about how if AI gets too advanced, it's going to kill us all. It's going to be the end of the world, right? And then in the 90s, right as AI is starting to kind of become a thing, The Matrix comes out and also talks about how AI is really dangerous and we shouldn't be developing it and all these other things. All of this fiction, like pretty much universally across all fiction that exists about AI is evil. All of this, human beings can only envision a future where AI is evil. And yet you continue to develop it. Like,
well, that's because, you know, Iron Man had AI. He had Jarvis, and Jarvis was totally cool.
One guy. Okay. One. And Vision.
Now we have self-driving cars where people can shoot pornos while the car is moving, or play on their Google goggles while the car is driving. And
That scene there, that video of that guy with the fucking Apple goggles thing getting out of his Cybertruck, which, by the way, is a horrifying vehicle. Now that it's out in the wild, we now know more about it, and it is horrifying. So it's stainless steel. It's unpainted stainless steel, which may sound familiar to you. Yes, that's the scene. That's the scene from Family Guy I had in my head right there. That's the scene.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Peter takes the women's studies class or whatever, because he punches that chick in the face and sends her into labor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one.
Dave just sent me that.
Yeah. But like, I'm late, Peter. You can't have a period. You're a guy. It's you can't, Peter. There's nothing you can't have a period. Well, I know you say that, Lois, but there's not much I can do. I'm Catholic. That was a great. That was, that was a great era for Family Guy that they really should bring back. But anyway, no, so the Cybertruck is like, it's stainless steel. So, you know, 88 miles an hour, 21.1 gigawatts. Anyway, it's stainless steel, right? Body. But it turns out not only is it a stainless steel body, but it's like the thin body panels that, you know, and there's all these angles and points and edges on it.
Mm-hmm.
None of that's rolled.
Nope.
So you're driving a 5,800 pound cluster of katanas. As you drive this thing
that dies in the snow.
Yeah, there are literally videos of people running carrots down along the body, and it's shaving the carrot down every body gap that it gets to, and it's clean cuts all the way down. And there's all these nice corners that are super sharp and things too. Also, turns out the wheel covers are ruining the extra special, like $10,000 a tire tires.
Nice.
So the recommendation from Tesla is to remove them until they can figure out a solution, but that reduces your range by 10%. And considering that the range was built at 350 miles and is more like 300 miles.
There was a takeover, a street, you know, a takeover, you know, people doing donuts on the road in San Francisco last week, and a self-driving car, one of the Wave cars, tried to go into the intersection, and the Wave car was attacked, and they burnt the car.
I support that. I don't support takeovers because they're reckless and dangerous and stupid, yeah, but I support that. Oh, they do takeovers here all the time. They do takeovers in Madison pretty regularly and stuff. But I definitely
like 100 yards up the road. Not even 100 yards up the road. It's like 40 yards up the road.
It's terrible, stupid, and regular. It's like the that rental Cadillac or whatever what rental car company was that from? Was that from U-Haul? I don't know if that was from U-Haul, but it was like a rental car, and it was like a Cadillac, and they were at a takeover, and then, like, as they were leaving the takeover, lost it, crashed, and both of the teenagers in it were killed.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit that happens at takeovers. Like, don't do that. It's stupid. It's stupid and it's reckless. I love car culture. I used to street race. I get it. I get where it's fun, but, like, man, it's reckless. It's stupid. It's dangerous, and it's needlessly dangerous. You don't need to be that reckless and stupid. You are not invincible. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt others, and it's going to be your fault.
Yeah. No. All right. Let's move on to kind of our wheelhouse. ATF argues against California's demand for ghost gun regulations.
I love this article because I read it and I was like, what?
Yes. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives asked a federal judge in California to rule against the state in a suit seeking to compel the federal government to crack down on ghost guns. I'm going to read that again. The BATFE asked a federal judge in California to rule against the state in its suit seeking to compel the federal government to crack down on ghost guns. Ghost guns are firearms that can be made at home from parts that can be purchased without background checks or serialization, and according to the plaintiffs, have become the weapon of choice for criminals. Yeah, California, the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence and others sued the Bureau in 2020, asking, among other things, for the court to order the federal agency to issue rules regarding 80% receivers and frames, core components of a firearm, that house or provide a structure for other components of a weapon. In 2022, the agency did issue a rule seemingly aimed at doing what the plaintiffs were asking. The rule expanded its definition of frames and receivers, which importantly are themselves considered firearms under the Federal Gun Control Act, to include incomplete, disassembled, and non-functioning frames and receivers. Several ghost gun manufacturers have filed lawsuits in other federal courts challenging the rule's validity. But the plaintiffs in their amended complaint filed this year claim that the new rule was insufficient to stop the proliferation of ghost guns. Quote, though the final rule takes the important steps to eliminate ghost gun making kits, meaning where 80% receiver or frames are sold together with other essential firearm parts, such as the magazine to store the ammunition and the jigs to assemble the firearm, the rule still permits the selling of unserialized 80% receivers and frames as standalone items without a background check or sterilization, the plaintiffs say in their amended complaint. You want to say something?
Oh, I just, you know, I was just kind of looking back.
Just pointing to that, yeah. blah, 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 blah. In arguments before the U.S. Senior District Judge Edward Chen, attorneys for the federal government said it should be granted summary judgment to the plaintiff's claims because they are unsustained. Quote, they have no evidence of whether the type of products which are subject to this disagreement are responsible for any of the meaningless injuries about which they complain.
That's the fucking crazy shit. Like,
yeah.
What? You're admitting that?
Well, they've tried. The federal government has tried to reclassify 80% as firearms. Right? And then the market responded with 75s. Right? And then Ghost Gunner went all the way and responded with solid 0%. Blocks of aluminum.
solid block of aluminum you can turn into a receiver.
Yep.
What are you going to do, ban solid blocks of aluminum?
Yeah. You going to ban aluminum?
But here's the thing that really pisses me off that's in this article, right? So there's quote, yeah, but there's a quote from Newman. The statute uses the term frame or receiver and doesn't define it. That's not fucking true. It does, in fact, define it very precisely.
Yes. That delegates to the ATF to define the receiver. ATF made a reasonable policy choice to consider the parts actually made by the seller. But what if the tool is easy to get, Chen asked. What excludes that? Newman said government agencies must prioritize clarity in their regulations and include factors like the availability of tools for modifying firearms, which would make the regulations too complicated.
The ATF must value clarity.
Uh-huh. Have you ever looked at what constitutes a pistol versus a rifle?
Yeah.
There are videos. AOW?
There are videos, long videos about the, it's really very simple. I love that video with the guy up there. He's like, it's really very simple. And it's in see pistol. This yeah. Not a pistol. Oh wait, but now it's a pistol. Mm-hmm. Unless, okay. Now this is an AOW, but the,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, it's like, okay, like you can take, like you can say you take an AR, right? You take an AR with a 16-inch barrel and a stock on it, right? That is a rifle. 16-inch barrel with a stock, that is a rifle. You take that stock off and you put a pistol brace. That is now a pistol. Right? But you take that same rifle and you give it a 10-inch barrel. With a pistol brace, that is a pistol.
Oh, but if
you put a stock on it, but if you put a stock on it, it becomes a Form 1, and you have to have a $200 tax stamp.
Ah, but if you leave the buffer tube on that AR, they can accept the adjustable rifle stock. It remains, now it's a short-barreled rifle with the pistol brace on it. However, if you put a 16-inch barrel with a smooth buffer tube on it, it's now a pistol, unless you put a vertical foregrip on the front, in which case now it's a short-barreled rifle. But if it's an angled foregrip, that's still a pistol.
And California goes even further than that with fixed magazines versus removable magazines and pistol grips versus not pistol grips, and it's just, it's so ridiculous.
Speaking of fixed magazines, don't you just love that every town the calling the lever action a deadly new innovation?
Yeah, a deadly new innovation, even though it was
a lever action gun. A lever action gun. Okay, so there's, I have right here, right, and right here I have, so this one over here, this is a patent from John Moses Browning from January 17th of 1888 for a lever action. And over here, this is for the Henry repeater. It is from October 16th of 1860. That one is from.
Okay. So that's technically not a firearm anymore anyway.
It's not.
Because it's before.
Neither of them. In fact, are.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, neither of them are.
But because they're manufactured before 1899, they're not firearms.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's a deadly new innovation, these lever action guns.
Oh, wait till they find out you can order a black powder rifle through the mail.
Yeah, ooh. They're going to be, oh my.
A black powder rifle kit.
But like, I love that. What if a tool is easy to get? You want to know the tools? The tools you need to manufacture a firearm? These are the tools that you need. Yeah. These are end mills, right? These are all end mills.
Yeah.
That's what you need right here.
Yeah, that's it. We need to ban Home Depot.
Apparently, that's like, this is, you could make a lower receiver for an AR-15 out of wood.
Yes.
Literally out of wood.
Didn't someone do that recently?
Yeah, I think someone did, just to prove the point that you can make it out of wood. You can make it from melted down fucking pop cans.
Yeah, that's a pretty well known meme. Guys melted down Coke cans. Yeah.
It's not. God. Oh.
And it's technically not even a firearm. Or yeah, technically not even a receiver.
Yeah, under the definition, because that's the thing, right? That's what pissed me off, is the statute uses the term frame or receiver and doesn't define it. But it does in detail, and it requires that it accepts the chamber. Mm-hmm. It can take a barrel. It has to contain the chamber. Can take a barrel. Yep. It has to have the firing mechanism in it as well.
Yes.
That is what is required for a receiver. An AR-15 does not have a single piece.
And every time,
all of those things.
Every time anyone challenges the definition of that in regards to AR platform rifles, the ATF punts.
They drop the charges, regardless of what those charges are, because there's been like hardcore violent felons.
Yes.
Who have been caught building.
Yeah. AR. Oh my God. You see the pictures from that gun confiscation in Richmond here in California, the guy that had a million rounds.
Oh,
bro. He had like, I think it was like 147 rifles or something like that. Belt feds. Like the Browning, and then there was a couple other ones. I'll have
like
to
the 1919.
Yeah, the M1919. But
that dude knew how to party.
Yeah, it was like 147 rifles that they determined that he was a gang supplier, I think is what they ended up calling him. But yeah, he had a million rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, tell me more about how your gun laws are going to protect people from filing criminals.
Yes. Where's that picture? Where's that picture? Oh, there it is. I'll drop it in the chat real quick, the article and the picture. Whoops, I just sent the freaking article twice. That was stupid. But there's the picture from the article. Check the chat real quick.
Oh my god. What do we got here? So we have a what the fuck?
Yes. 11 machine guns, 60 assault rifles, dozens of other firearms, along with approximately 1 million rounds of ammunition of miscellaneous calibers. There are also 3,000 large capacity magazines and 20 silencers in the cache of weapons.
Large capacity silencers. So what I'm seeing here, so we have is that a stand in the front with a suppressor?
Dave says that's a good start. Yeah, I agree, Dave.
Suppressed Sten, two separate versions. Ooh, nice. Two separate versions of the Thompson. He's got an M, was that the 19? I think that's the 1918. And then he has the M1A1, the World War One or World War II, rather, simplification.
Yeah, there's version.
He's got several Uzis, a baby Uzi. Let's see, we got an M16A2, an M4. I'm not sure what that is with the folding stock. That looks weird. That's another Uzi. That's another Uzi. That's another Sten.
All those AKs.
Dude, he has a Sterling. I'm jealous.
Is that a Maw, by the way? Middle top. Is that an MA2?
I don't know. This isn't the greatest photo, but there's a Sterling for sure. Two MAC-10s, one with the suppressor, which is supposed to be there, by the way. The gun's literally designed to fire with a suppressor. A number of AK variants. I think one of them, at least one of them, is a Valmet. Shit, I know what that thing is, but I can't remember what it is offhand.
And then there's the one P90 on the side.
Yeah, yet another Sten, yet another Sten, yet another Sten. There's at least three more Stens.
Yeah.
The number of AKs with the Dingus is ridiculous.
Yes.
Then machine gun wise, what the fuck moment was right in the center top.
You see the big oil filter suppressor?
Yeah, that's fucking great. he's got...
He says, Dave says top middle. It's a Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a fucking Lewis. That was the one that I said, what the fuck about? That's what I was saying, is right in the top center, I saw a Lewis, and I was like, is that a fucking Lewis? But that's not even a 1919. I think that's actually a full on Ma Deuce. I can't tell though.
The 1919 is in the. Is that a 1919? No. The 1919 is in the cover photo for the link.
Oh, okay. That's because I think that's a Deuce.
Yeah.
There's at least one BAR on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
lots and lots of fun stuff.
That's a PTR in the far back there on the left.
Yeah, but so gun control. God. Gun control is so fantastic.
Oh my god, this is a collection.
Yes,
and they're gonna destroy them, aren't they?
State of California, yes.
Oh,
yes.
There are two Thompsons.
Legit Thompsons.
Yeah. Like legit Thompsons. One's the, and you can tell that that's the high fire rate Thompson because it's still got the cuts compensator on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it still has, it's got the actual cut in the receiver for the drum mag. So when you get to the one that's on the left there in the center, that's the M1A1. They remove that drum cut. And so they make it a stick mag only. And they also remove the cuts compensator as well as that vertical foregrip to simplify the gun. And they also lowered the fire rate down to, I think it's like that one's like 650, whereas the one on the right, depending on which variant it is, could be as high as 1200, which actually is way more controllable because it's a constant push. The thing is like, if you ever have anybody from, you know, who's like a World War II veteran ever tell you, like with the one in the center there, that, oh, well, you know, it would just climb right on out of your hands and it'd be anti-aircraft. They're full of shit. They never fired a Thompson in their life. That is a heavy, heavy, heavy gun. And it is only firing 45. It doesn't climb. It just sits there. The downside is with that 650, that M1 A1, is it such a low fire rate that it rattles a lot. Like it likes to bounce a whole bunch, and it's a lot harder to hit your target. Whereas that high fire rate actually is much easier to lean into and stay on target. But some of these guns are rare. That Sterling in particular is, which is the, like in that section, it's the third, fourth down from the right.
All told, he had 248 guns. According to a different article, 248 guns. And a million rounds of ammo in his home. And he was a legally prohibited person.
And he had that as a legally prohibited person.
11 military style machine guns, 133 handguns, 37 rifles, 60 assault rifles, 7 shotguns, 3,000 large capacity magazines. Dozens of rifle receivers and pistol frames. So 20 silencers and 4 flare guns.
as Dave pointed out too. He agrees with me. That's an M2, not a 1919. So that's the 50. So he has a 50 caliber machine gun sitting there. Also, there's an MP40 and an STG-44 in there.
Yes.
In addition to the Sterling, and the Sterling is already incredibly rare. Do you know the firearms history that's about to be destroyed because California hates guns?
Yes.
That is a hell of a collection. That is a hell of a collection.
Yeah, so yeah, two different belt feds. One in the forefront, one in the rear.
Yep, there's two. The Lewis is uses a nice pan mag that goes on the top.
Uh-huh.
That was a World War I machine gun that they use clear through World War II. Actually, you know what's really weird? Speaking of machine guns from World War II, the Brazilian police forces still use Madsens.
Uh-huh.
That's that super weird, like, Scandinavian machine gun with like the top slight offset mounted mag and shit, and it's all funky and like its mechanics are really odd. They still use Madsens, and I was wondering if there was a Madsen in here because I was gonna laugh if there was, but like I can see the PTR, I can see the Lewis, I can see definitely that's a BAR.
Apparently, there's a video too.
Of the guns.
Yeah.
God, there's some nice fucking weapons here.
Yeah, all nice gonna be destroyed. Weapons. Because California hates firearms.
Oh. Dude. Some of these are so fucking rare.
Yes. No. Hey, you wanna go into that next article? I gotta go use the bathroom real fast.
Yeah, what's the next article? Is that the ban?
Yes. The private sale bin.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. This is real fun. A Biden gun rule being drafted to effectively ban private sales, ATF whistleblowers. A watchdog group is demanding documents from the Biden administration after whistleblowers allege that a regulation is under development. Regulation, not law, very important. Regulation is under development that would effectively ban private gun sales. The group Empower Oversight said Wednesday that two sources have claimed that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is preparing to propose a rule requiring background checks for most or all gun sales. And don't forget that that form that you fill out is supposed to be destroyed and not kept, right? But we all know that it is. President Biden has campaigned for stricter gun laws and in August proposed a regulation to clarify that people who repetitively sell guns must register as federally licensed gun dealers subject to background checks. The revised rule, purportedly being crafted by the ATF, would be even broader, Empower Oversight President Tristan Levitt said in a series of posts on X. Empower Oversight, quote, has learned through whistleblowers within the ATF that at the direction of the White House, ATF has drafted a 1,300-page document to justify a rule effectively banning the private sale of firearms, Levitt wrote. Whistleblowers say the rule is being drafted by senior counsel Eric Epstein, who worked as the Phoenix Field Office's division counsel during Operation Wide Receiver, a precursor of Operation Fast and Furious.
Yes. Yes, now they want to, because banning private sales is totally going to stop what we just talked about.
Yeah, considering that that guy was already a prohibited person, right? He's already prohibited. He's not legally allowed, right, to own these guns. And he has
or ammunition.
Or ammunition. And he has
240 firearms and a million rounds. A million rounds.
And he has firearms that most of us who are not legally prohibited to own firearms would fucking absolutely kill to own.
Yes.
Like, just. And then you're going to try and ban, because, like, there's a lot of states that don't allow private party to private party without background checks, right? California. Which is a violation of the Second Amendment. We all know it.
Such as California.
Yeah. But, like, Wisconsin allows private party to private party. Minnesota allows private party to private party. Iowa allows private party to private party. Most of the American South allows private party to private party.
All the good ones?
Yeah. Most of the Western states that are in the mountains
Idaho,
allow
Idaho,
private party Montana. To private party.
Yeah. Scott says Indiana does.
Yeah, the majority of states in the United States will allow private party to private party sales without background checks. This is a rule proposal to ban that at a federal level, which is a blatant violation of the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And there is, in fact, already a Supreme Court case with regards to this that says that the federal government can't do that.
Yeah. Because it's like, okay, like for example, perfect example, the Kansas City Chiefs victory parade shooting that was perpetrated by minors
who are legally prohibited from owning firearms in the first place,
and also legally prohibited from carrying said firearms, but yet you'll they also had them, a few but other yet they had them those. And they carried them. Yeah, so ban private sales. That's going to totally change everything. That's like, I don't know. You know what we should do? We should ban straw purchases.
Good Lord.
That's how you stop crime, is you ban straw purchases.
The thing that's already banned?
Yeah. We should ban shooting people. We should ban shooting people. Right? Was it Feinstein? Feinstein said you can legally hunt humans with a 30-round magazine.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, and we're all like, it's not legal to hunt humans at all not. With anything.
Unfortunately.
The most dangerous game. Like, granted, I can understand why Feinstein might be confused about that, since I'm sure that the elites have some island that they go and play most dangerous game on. But the reality is that while you and your fucking Bilderberg group friends may be able to do that shit.
Yeah, how do we invite them to our Mars simulation? That's what I want to know.
Oh, we've run out of food. We're going to have to eat, kill and eat them. What? There's a bunch of food. I don't know what you're talking about. You some kind of right wing conspiracy theorist? There's no food left.
There's no food left. Yeah. Oh, that's all GMO.
Levitt said added such sweeping rule with the effect of banning private sales would clearly violate the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, which declares that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Empower Oversight sent an FOIA request Wednesday to the Justice Department in bad faith, seeking additional information, including communications with the White House on any Epstein emails involving the alleged plan. Well, the name Epstein is associated, so they're certainly not going to talk about it. But anyway, federally licensed dealers must conduct NICS checks. We all know that. Although the precise wording of the pending proposal wasn't released, the whistleblower concerns stems from the fact that some sellers might be unable to easily access NICS or unaware of the need to do so, putting themselves in legal jeopardy. The ATF has already interpreted a 2022 bipartisan gun law enacted after a mass shooting at Texas elementary school as expanding who must register as a federally licensed firearms dealer, to include people who repetitively sell guns, quote, to predominantly earn a profit.
Yeah, under the current, you can sell, what, 12 a year or something like that? I think that's the rule, more or less.
It really depends. It varies a whole lot on enforcement, too, but I think, like, 12 is the,
I think 12.
The hard limit.
Yeah.
But like, that's the whole thing, right? Is that was the reason that the FOIA got passed and got passed with the Hughes Amendment that was supposed to be a poison pill to it.
No. Fuck Reagan. Fuck the NRA.
Yeah, because Reagan didn't actually care about firearms and certainly didn't care about you.
Yes.
So he passed it anyway. He got passed anyway. He signed it into law anyway, despite the Hughes Amendment. But the FOIA was designed originally to stop the ATF from harassing people who bought and sold more than two guns in a year.
Yeah. No. You know, we need to put chips in all the firearms. That's what we need to do. That's totally going to work.
There are things that
still has that law in the books.
There are things that we need to do that involve firearms, but it certainly doesn't involve chips.
Brandenburg v. Ohio, 1969. Yeah, Aaron Gobra.
But
come out, you black and tans.
Shuck your law.
Yeah.
But no, it's the shirt, for those of you who are only listening, that I'm wearing says Deposed Tyrants. And it's got a skull with a crown on it.
Wasn't today the anniversary, IRA anniversary?
There are many IRA anniversaries. It depends on which one.
I know that, but today was something in particular.
And we're approaching Easter.
Aye. Let's see. it's the anniversary of John Tunstall's murder. Jesse Evans, Lincoln County War. You know, Billy the Kid.
Yep.
There was a blah, 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 blah. IRA explodes bombs in the early morning at Pennington Station and Victoria Station in London.
Allegedly.
Oh.
There are a lot of incidents involving the IRA and bombs that are alleged.
Alleged, yes. Not convicted.
Well, not only that, but like the IRA, like a lot of them, the IRA straight up said, not our fault. The mall bombing, the real famous one, there is a lot of knowledge among certain people that that bomb was not supposed to go off then and definitely should not have gone off then. And chances are that MI5 or MI6 changed the timer and left it there to make the Rauch bad.
So yeah, that was let's see, Paddington was bombed by the Provost, causing bad damage to the station's roof. 3 hours later, London's Victoria Station was targeted in a much more serious attack.
So, you know how you make those stop? You leave Ireland.
Quit being a dick.
You give us our fucking country back.
Aye. Let's see. Irish bomb entering 38. General bomb warning for all the mainline stations, but telephone. Chose not to close. So the Metropolitan Police Anti-Terrorist Branch chose not to close the station after being warned.
Yep.
So that's their fault.
Because that actually was a hallmark of IRA bombings, is that if the IRA is planning on blowing something up, they would call the authorities and tell them, yeah, hey, this is about to be blown up. You need to evacuate everybody.
Yep. And they didn't do it.
And then the authorities would intentionally and very intentionally not do that so that people would actually get hurt, even though they were well aware that this is a credible threat about to happen.
Yep.
Because it wasn't about protecting people. It was just about making the IRA look bad.
Yes, because propaganda is everything. And that's totally not a coincidence when it comes to things like, I don't know, Michigan.
Yeah, and why did the IRA target those two stations? Well, guess where the SAS and British Army get moved out of to head to Northern Ireland?
Yes.
Those two stations.
Yes. So... yep. All right. You got anything else you want to talk about real quick?
Not really. I'm in mourning over those guns.
there were so many just,
there are several rare guns. Yeah. And Dave is right. There's at least one anti-tank gun there.
Nice.
There's, oh god, there's some rare long range gun. Oh, god.
Yeah,
why? Oh no, do you know how many of those guns I would love to have in my collection?
All of them.
I mean, yeah, ultimately all of them, but like the big ones. The two Thompsons, the pre-war and wartime Thompsons that suppressed suppressed several things. The Mac, the Uzi. The fuck is that? I thought that was an Uzi, but now that I look closer, I don't think it is. Right in the center, right above that Thompson. I don't know what that
is. Oh, apparently there's also a cache of grenades.
Oh. But tell me more about how your gun laws are going to work. Prohibited person with the belt-fed 50 caliber machine gun and horde of hand grenades. You and your feckin' rope.
I love how they add, like, to the list, they add 4 flare guns.
Those are legal for anyone to own, by the way.
You can buy them at Big Five, man.
Yeah, you can literally buy a child can buy those. They're not a firearm.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh. Just a little bit sad.
Oh. Yep. Just a little. All right. Well, anyway, so if you want to care for your beard like a Viking, like I do, you're going to use thebeardstruggle.com. Use their products. They're fantastic. They smell great. They just had a couple of brand new scents that are super limited edition that time has run out. I think end of tonight for at least one. It's the King something or other. I can't remember offhand, but anyway, that there's that. There's a bunch of great scents. They have stuff for the ladies. They have beard straighteners. They have colognes now. They have all sorts of cool stuff. But if you use Inked Anarchist 15 as your code at checkout, you can save 15%. Not 20%. Unfortunately, I get 20% off, but you don't. That's because I'm a brand rep. Yay me. Also, check out Lions Not Sheep. We are also associated with them. I think I have, yep, there's a hat over. I can't bend my shoulder that far. Right there for them. Also, check out Reaper Brand Apparel. Super cool brand. Both of them, if you use our links in our link tree, you get discounts on. So you can get some cool stuff from cool brands that have cool messages and save yourself money. Check out Coffee Brand Coffee from The Quartering. God, who else do we have now? Because now that Spookware is gone on me,
Spookware is still around. I keep seeing some Twitter activity from him. So,
but his website is a Lewis.
Oh, this fucking video.
All right. Yeah, told you it was Lewis. Anyway, it's a pretty easy to see Lewis. Actually, I'll tell you afterwards. Fun thing about Lewis Stones. But anyway, yeah. So RK Spookware, this little belt right here.
Three belt feds, and one of them is a 1919.
Okay, cool. So yeah, check out this little guy right here, the little happy ghost. RK Spookware. Again, there's a link in the description. If the website is up and running, I don't know if it is. And always be sure to check out Dave at poppinspatches.com. Super high quality patches. They're super, super awesome. And he has the Q word out there right now. So if you have first responder friends, I highly suggest that you get that patch for them. They'll really appreciate it. They'll enjoy it lots. So firefighters, EMTs, make sure you get it for them. That if you know ER nurses or doctors, maybe they'll want one. It'll be great. It'll be great.
I have to get that for my daughter. My daughter works in the emergency room of a hospital up north now.
Oh, yeah, no. Definitely get it for her because they will love it. They'll really appreciate that gift.
Proud dad brag. She's only been at this job since August. Nominated for Employee of the Month.
Nice.
Yep. Of the whole hospital. One of four for the whole hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. So humble dad brag.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's I'm sure she'll appreciate that patch a great deal. She'll really, really love it. I really want to get one. I have my first responder bag sitting over here off camera, and I really want to get one to throw on it because should I ever need to bust it out, I just want to see the looks on the faces of other people there as I bust that out.
Put it on your plate carrier.
You son of a bitch. There you go. Oh, yeah. You ever really want to have fun if you go on a tour of a fire station? Be like, hey, can I use the PA system? And if they tell you yes. Someone's ass beat. Oh, yeah. But you go on a tour of a fire station, right? And then be like, hey, can I use the PA system? I just want to try it once. And if they let you, just be like, hey, everyone, isn't it awfully quiet tonight? And then hang up and start running.
Show up with pizza to the firehouse. Man, awfully quiet tonight, guys.
Yeah, it seems awfully quiet tonight. Or before you leave, if you're delivering food, if you're Uber or whatever, you know, DoorDash food to a firehouse, just or ambulance drivers, just be like, man, sure is quiet tonight, huh?
Yeah.
And just watch their faces. It'll be great. Or tell them, I hope you guys have a quiet night.
Yeah.
And...
We have a mutual friend on Facebook, Ludwig von Fluffles or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
he's a ambulance, a paramedic in Philadelphia.
He needs that patch desperately.
Yes. Yeah. So, all right. Give us a piece of life advice.
Oh, piece of life advice.
Don't let the feds know what you have.
If you're going to collect historically important firearms. Don't let the feds catch you with them.
Or your 1 million round of ammunition.
At least, like, disassemble. They're not even that hard to just disassemble them and keep the parts in various places, for the love of God.
Yes.
Just.
Yes. I'll give me a call. I'll hide them for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know. I'll take them. I'll hold on to them. It'll be fine. Also, remember that if you're ever going to surrender Grandpa's firearms because you're a dinkus, that he never had registered and they're historically significant, the only piece that you have to surrender is, in fact, the receiver. Take the rest of the parts off, because there were thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and you don't have to turn them in. Only the receiver.
Yes. What Andrew said. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.